Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of the Mumbrella Cast. I'm your host and editor of Mumbrella, Neil Griffiths, joined as always, well, with the returning Mumbrella publisher, Adam Lang. Adam, thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I've had days off and now I'm back.
You might hear some murmuring in the background. That's half poor audio on our part, but that's also because we are in a very busy hotel. We're at the Crown Sydney for Mumbrella's Retail Marketing Summit. We are so excited to present this episode to you. It's really boots on the ground episode, Adam.
Yeah, Retail Marketing Summit. So under the banner of owned media, you know, if you look at those categories of owned and earned and paid media, retail media really falls under that owned media. The things that our brands often own that they don't even know might be retail assets and retail media oriented. It's been a nascent and exploding category in recent years. And what we're seeing on the ground here today is obviously huge interest. We've sold more tickets than we thought. And the room's packed. And every session has been so interesting and brought up things about the market and the industry that I hadn't even considered. And so when you get those expert perspectives in a room like this, it can be really important. So we're having a great day so far and more to come.
And before we continue on, I just want a quick update. For those who heard last week's episode, Nathan Jolly, the deputy editor of Mumbrella, stepped in for Adam. He wasn't as excited about data, and I apologise for that. We spoke a little bit about the News Corp, the Tabcorp's form guides being removed from newspapers. We've actually had an update from News Corp that it's not the form guides themselves being removed, it's the sponsorship of those form guides. So good news for people who like betting and people like my father who don't know how to use apps. The form guides are going nowhere.
That'll be a huge relief. TABs everywhere. It'll be full of the form guides.
Very exciting. And obviously, again, we are at the Retail Marketing Summit. It's been a really fantastic day of sessions and interviews on this podcast specifically. So let's kick it off first with IKEA Australia's Head of Marketing and Insights, Kirsten Hasler, and their Head of Communications, Patricia Routledge. Kirsten, Patricia, welcome to the Mumbrella Cast.
Thank you. Thank you.
As we speak, you are minutes ago, you were just on stage. Tell me, how'd the session go?
Yeah, we think it went all right. We really wanted to acknowledge that it's been tough for the retailers in the room over the last 12 months and give a bit of an insight into what we have done and how we found success in navigating the cost of living crisis in our category.
Yeah.
We had some good feedback, I think, lots of questions. And what we really wanted to do is kind of break some of the assumptions about IKEA as being this big brand with all the answers and just show really how we're all facing similar challenges and how we personally try and break those challenges down.
So for the listeners, the session was called Democratic Design and Affordability, Lessons to Thrive in Hard Economic Times. Again, minutes ago, you guys were just on stage. How did the audience take it? What were the big takeaways that you guys feel the audience is leading with today?
There were a couple of questions about things like segmentation, and one of the topics that we talked about was omnichannel awareness, because most people still think of IKEA as the big blue box, but we've discovered through insights that we need to actually tell people that we actually sell online and can shop through the app, etc. And so one of the questions was one that many of us sit with as an omnichannel retailer, and that's that if you push people online, what does that do to your in-store traffic and footfall? And in our case, we haven't seen a decline. We haven't seen the cannibalization. So it was great to hear that, you know, we're all worried about the same things in this omnichannel environment.
I think one of those questions as well was about the varied customer journey and touch point. So some people choosing to go in store, some people only engaging online. And I think we tried to talk to that as well and the importance of that 360 degree approach. And, you know, often we start with our co-workers because they need to understand what our messages are in market. But again, like multiple touch points. So wherever you are in the customer journey, you're hearing and seeing the same thing.
Now, I don't want to ruin the session for people who weren't there because it'll be online soon. You can read about it at mumbrella.com.au. For you guys there, you mentioned, I guess, the comparison between in-store and online. How hard or, I guess, how easy is that to navigate in a digital age where everyone is online? But, you know, to your point, everyone knows IKEA as the big blue box. We know that we go in-store for IKEA. How do you guys navigate that space?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to the brand. Like, what is your value proposition and what value are you giving customers? And for us, the in-store experience is still the peak omnichannel experience, as we call it. When you go in-store, you can talk to co-workers, you can touch and feel the products, you can be inspired by the room sets. Whereas online, that experience is different. And it's really knowing what customers want and how you can communicate that externally through marketing and not push people into channels, but really just tell them about the options that they have and then get them to shop in the channels that they choose. And I think that's where you see the biggest impact. Mm.
Well, again, congratulations on the session, guys. Before I let you go, is there anything you should tell our listeners coming up with IKEA Australia, maybe this year, maybe next year? Is there some big plans in the pipeline?
Ooh, big wins in IKEA. I think our team market at the moment, which we actually talked to in our session, is our omnichannel campaign. So, you know, you'll see it on buses, you'll see it on trains, but you'll also see different proof points within that, such as our creative app, which is an interior design tool that helps you design your rooms with furniture. So I recommend you go onto our app and download it.
You can do that right now. Kirsten, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us at the Retail Marketing Summit, and we hope to see you soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. All right, up next, you're going to hear me do three separate interviews from the one panel. This was the News Corp Australia panel. First, you'll hear me chat to Spotlight Retail Group's General Manager of Marketing, Jason Wolf, followed by the News Corp Australia's E-Commerce Director, Aaron Cron, and then Microsoft's Advertising and Retail Media Partnerships Director, John Harvey Forholt. Right now, I'm joined by Jason, first of all. Jason, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. Felt like it was a really good session, really good crowd.
Yeah, so I think you've been off stage for, you know, all of 15 minutes. The session was the evolving role of retail media in high intent environments. First of all, congratulations. How do you feel?
Yeah. Good. I think it's very topical at the moment, as in a lot of retailers out there looking for new revenue streams, looking to try and offset increasing cost of doing business challenges. So I think it was something that was probably fairly well received and in top of mind for a lot of the people in the room.
Now, in the room itself with the audience in there, it was quite a large crowd, quite packed out actually.
Yeah,
was there a particular takeaway with this, particular questions the audience was fielding at the end there?
I think when looking at the crowd,
Bring closer.
Really looking at some of the challenges, I think that people are coming across as they sort of move into the retail media space a little bit. I think a lot of people probably underestimate the amount of setup work that needs to be done beforehand, and also making sure that we truly understand that this isn't just a revenue grab. You've got to set up something that's of real value to the partners that you're bringing into a program like this. Otherwise, you're going to get a one-hit wonder out of it. You know, you're not going to get the revenue sort of that's sustainable out of a program like that. So I think that was some of the things that were probably really sort of resonated in there as such was, you know, in and around what's it going to take resource-wise, how much, you know, do you have to set up prior to inviting people in there, understanding what your inventory looks like within your own business, what can you actually sell without doing damage to your own business. And then from there, there's a lot of extra stuff that doesn't usually happen in a retail environment. There's a lot of proposals and reporting and attribution, which we usually rely on our media agencies to pull that together for us. But you need to play that role in that particular sort of environment.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I was in the foyer here doing more podcasts. We spoke about what the audience takeaways were. In that room, what was the biggest message you wanted people to walk away with? What was the key thing that you wanted to share in there?
Yeah, I think that the key thing is really understanding the journey that each of your partners is going to have to go through to really buy into this as a program. And sort of before you even sort of go down the road of starting to forecast or understand what you want to deliver, is understand all of the steps that you're going to have to take to build out, firstly, the media network, and then the resources that are going to be required to efficiently and effectively build out a program that's going to show value to your partners. Mm. I think that's because I think immediately when you hear it, you sort of go, wow, I could use a bit of a boost to my marketing budget. But if you go in there too quickly and you can't really provide great content and great value, yeah, it's really going to fall short.
And before we move on to the two gentlemen who are standing very patiently behind you right now, because we only have two microphones, selfishly talking about Spotlight for a minute, what have you guys got in store for 2024? Any new announcements, anything you want to share with the Mumbrella Cast listeners right now?
Yeah. So as part of the Spotlight group, we've got the Spotlight brand, but also Anaconda and Harris Scarf. So, the Spotlight Spotlight brand is the more mature of our business. And yeah, look, we've got some exciting sort of partnerships coming up with, you know, things like My Kitchen Rules for Spotlight, really expanding out on the homewares categories within the Spotlight business. So that's fantastic. That's exciting. Continual store growth for the Anaconda business, building out the regional markets throughout the rest of the country. And that the Anaconda business has had some fantastic growth over the past few years, and that continues to go from strength to strength. And our Harris Scarf business, which has been primarily sort of Victorian, Tasmanian, South Australian, is really doing a lot of expansion. So new stores in New South Wales, new stores in Queensland, that's really exciting for the Harris Scarf business, and they're getting phenomenal sales growth as well. So there's really exciting stuff that's happening on store growth and category growth as well across all of those businesses. So yeah, it's a good time for our business, because we've also got some of our own property developments that are sort of coming into fruition at the moment as well, which is helping that store expansion, because it's pretty tight to get some new stores on the ground out there at the moment.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. Jason, thank you so much for coming by. You can take a breath now. The session is over.
Awesome.
Get yourself a drink and relax, my friend.
Cheers.
Adam, come on over. Adam, welcome to the show. You were moderating that panel, so yes. It was great to chat to Jason as one of the presenters. Tell me, what was the vibe in there as the moderator?
Well, it was a packed room. So
it was. I think it was probably the most packed so far, so congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, we try to be very future-thinking and bring in a really topical subject to the room, so mm-hmm. That's why we focused on retail media. I mean, it's something that's really only in its infancy in Australia. So I think, you know, it was received very well as an interesting... not out of left field, but you know, it's a really important future part of retail marketing generally.
And you have the benefit as the moderator of actually getting to listen to the session as opposed to presenting. What was the big message or takeaway for you in there?
I think, I mean, yeah, two probably key messages. One was retail media will become a necessity for any major retail group. And we see that, you know, as a flow on what's happened in the US with, you know, Amazon and Walmart. Where, you know, if you're not doing retail media, will you be able to have the marketing dollars others do? Mm. Will you be able to compete on price? You know, will you have those systems in place to, you know, have those competitive forces to really understand how much you can get out of your supply chain? Mm. So I think, you know, that's probably the first key point. You know, you're going to have to do it one way or another, whether you've started now or not. And probably the second key point is that, you know, it's not one size fit all. Each retail group will have their own issues and considerations and limits. So it needs to be done right. And that's where, you know, partners like News Corp come in and Microsoft to, you know, plug these gaps in capabilities and strategies and decisions that, you know, aren't native or natural to retailers.
Mm. And you mentioned there, you know, retail media really is in its infancy in Australia, and you posed some questions that if you're not doing it, what will happen? Without trying to be too doom and gloom about it, what are your predictions for retail media in 5 to 10 years if it isn't adopted by Australians?
I mean, you know, the more sophisticated players like obviously Coles and Woolworths and others, they're less in their infancy down the journey, but sure. They're still a few years in, like Cartology and others. I think that, you know, it will be increasingly difficult to compete because it will become much more commonplace and normal for the brands and the supply chain to be engaging with retail media to, you know, get the most out of their retail partners. They'll all be ready to go. So if you're not doing it, you know, you won't be getting as much out of your supply chain as your competitors, which means either A, you won't have, you know, a as robust marketing budget, or you won't be able to compete on price. Mm. And, you know, probably one of the biggest canary in the coal mines is just to look at an Amazon. When you see how they perform in the US,
sure.
They're effectively a media business. I think they lose a lot of money if you remove the media operation. And that's obviously because it's all flowing into their pricing and their service. So if, you know, you're not doing a robust retail media strategy at some point in the future, your competitors will, and I don't know if you'll be able to compete without one.
Yeah, well, Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Congratulations on the moderating. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You can take a breath now and just relax.
Cheers.
Thanks, mate. And lastly, joining me to talk about the News Corp session here at the Retail Marketing Summit, John Harvey Forholt, the Advertising and Retail Media Partnerships Director, JPAC China of Microsoft. John, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks for having me.
I just had, it was weird, separate but kind of joint discussions with Jason and Adam there. Obviously, Jason presenting, Adam moderating. You were presenting there as well. So I'd love to get your take on how the session went and I guess what the audience took away from there.
Yeah, great. You know, I think with these things, you know, people are hearing so much content throughout the day. It's about landing just a few kind of core messages with the session. And so for us, I think it was important for, given the audience, you have retailers, you have marketers, you have businesses all in between. We're all trying to navigate the retail media space sort of together. And so I think helping everybody understand that a lot of businesses are in the same stage as you might be, whether you're a buyer trying to navigate how do we start buying in retail media, or whether you're a retailer saying how do we launch a new program. So how do you navigate some of those challenges? What are some of the challenges you're going to face? And then how should I be leveraging third-party solutions like a News Corp, like a Microsoft to help me on that journey?
And I did ask Jason this question, but I'd love your perspective as well as the other presenter in the room. When it came to the Q&A time and discussions between the moderators and the audience, do you, in your mind, was there a particular message, takeaway, or questions that the audience wanted to know about before they left that room?
I think for most of them, one, knowing they're not going to get sold to, right? Okay. And so I think everybody knows there's going to be a commercial element to a lot of the presentations you see today, but you also want to know that that's going to drive value for in your role, for your business. And so for me, it was really about coming in, illustrating how Microsoft is approaching the retail media space, but also not coming across with a commercial sell. I think any of the questions or challenges that I illustrated today are really challenges that most retailers or brands are going to face and that you should be asking any provider. And so I think for me, the audience, knowing that they came, learned a little bit more about what retailers are doing in the space, what solutions providers are doing to help retailers and brands navigate that, and then leaving with a sense of we're all kind of approaching this challenge together, to me was sort of an expectation.
Mm. And unfortunately, I know you said you didn't want to do the commercial sell there, but I do want to ask, you know, given your international experience, is there anything you want to update the Australian listeners on in the retail media space from Microsoft's perspective? What's going on in 2024?
Yeah, great question. For us, as you probably know, AI is a huge sort of investment Microsoft's making, and retail media is going to be no different. And frankly, it's I think has so much opportunity and application potential in the retail media space. Mm-hmm. So we've just launched what we call Microsoft Creative Studios, which is using generative AI to create custom advertising that then retailers can use as part of their retail media programs. So a big challenge retailers have, and particularly brands, the more you go towards torso and tail, is getting resources to create advertising for specifically retail media purposes. Creative Studios allows a brand to pull a product URL from a page, put it into the tool and say, show my sofa in a relaxing living room environment. I want to run a branding campaign versus performance campaign. And Creative Studios will create a list of different creative options that mm-hmm. then a buyer can choose from. It also makes it easier for retailers to look at the various creatives that are being submitted to run on their properties and makes it easier for their teams to review and approve. So this is sort of a good example of how we're looking to help retailers cut down on operational costs, but then also helping brands deliver more catered messages to customers so that they get that performance they need.
Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations on the presentation. Again, I know we're all of 15 minutes off stage, so it was very kind of you to come and join us on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoy the rest of the day, man. We'll talk
soon.
You
as well. Thanks for having me.
And last but not least, joining me on the Mumbrella cast today, he is the founder of Tribe. He is an industry stalwart. You've seen him on Getaway. You've heard him on Radio Today FM. I am stoked to welcome to the show right now, Mr. Jules Lund.
No, I'm going to do the intro.
Yeah,
hey,
go on,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mumbrella Retail Marketing Summit here in Sydney.
If you didn't know that sultry voice, that is Mr. Jules Lund, founder of Tribe. Jules, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here. What an event.
It's been a massive day, man. I got to say, a little bit of humbling experience for myself because first time I met you, I was just a lowly street team member at Today FM, putting little flags up outside anywhere.
Giving out icy cold cans of Coke and stickers.
Handing out those things called DVDs. What the hell are those things? But dude, it's good to see you. We are all of 5 minutes off your stage time at your presentation. How'd you go, man?
I loved it. I mean, it's a really good room. I've been to, I'm going to say, every single Mumbrella event in terms of every vertical. I've hosted Mumbrella Travel Awards. I've hosted agency awards. I've been on stage at Mumbrella 360, ComsCon, you name it. And I think this is really elite. This is a concentrated group of senior marketers, decision makers, and it's nice and relaxed, and you guys have put it on at Crown, so everyone's eating like top-notch food. In terms of the stage show, they were really engaged, and it was nice and casual. I mean, it, you know, I feel like I brought something different, which was, all right, everyone's talking about retail media at the moment. Buying media is easy. Generating the content to put on those screens, to put in those EDMs, to put, you know, in store is actually a real challenge. And so what I've been posing to a lot of retail marketers here is like, you guys, out of all the marketers on the planet that are instructed by their boards and CFOs to achieve more with less, so achieve, you know, more sales, more engagement, more foot traffic, with less people, less money, less time, retail marketers actually have a superpower, which is their own employees. These guys have phones in their pocket and can generate all these amazing videos to be able to drive all of that intent towards a sale. So that's what we've been sparking today.
Yeah. Now, obviously, for listeners who weren't here and can and listen to the podcast right now, the session was called Achieve More With Less, the World's Most Inspiring Employee Creator Programs. Yeah. Again, without giving the whole panel away, because I know you just did
That's all right.
What was, I guess, for you, the main message you wanted people to leave the room with?
Well, look, it's another creative approach to a problem everyone has, which is we just don't have enough video content. So years ago, we used to talk about you don't have enough content, but now you don't have enough short-form video content. So your consumers are obsessed with that TikTok style, and people are bringing to life a brand experience, right? And so they're not engaging with ads. You can't use social media and just put an ad in there like you used to just wedge in an ad in TV and radio and print, etc. Social media is about being social. And it turns out that your employees are really likable characters. And there's been a consumer shift. Years ago, you used to have celebrities to get their attention, right? But now, influence is eye level. Like, if you look at the top five accounts on Instagram versus TikTok, Instagram was like, you know, Messi and Kardashians and Cristiano Ronaldo and The Rock and stuff. TikTok's like Carba Lamy, who's like an unemployed kid, or Charli D'Amelio, who's a girl dancing in her bedroom. Then you've got Mr. Beast uploading his first YouTube at 13. Like, it's relatable is the new aspirational. And so if you have likable characters in your workforce, so IKEA have got people that, you know, are really domain experts in office equipment. You've got people at Woolworths. You could even unlock your farmers, suppliers, for instance. We talked about BWS today, which is like you've got someone in BWS who loves whiskey, someone who loves craft beer, wine pairing. So you just pull an army of those together, and we've been working with them for a couple of years now, for them to be able to take videos and bring to life a new product range of seltzers, and the engagement is through the roof.
Does it surprise you now, like, you know, a year ago the cliche was if you don't have TikTok you've fallen behind? How true is that now in 2024, specifically when you talk to older people who don't even know or care what a TikTok is?
Well, look, the point is it's actually the TikTok style, in my opinion. So what TikTok has done is just it's just so engaging. That short-form video scroll. So now Reels has done it, obviously. Snapchat's got Spotlight. You've even got the likes of Netflix have Fast Laughs. You've got Spotify doing videos. That is now how people consume content. And so even if they're not looking at it on TikTok, that is what Pinterest now looks like, right? It's short-form video tutorials. And so it's actually more that style. Doesn't matter what channel you're using, you can definitely have a company that doesn't feel all like they belong in TikTok. You don't have to go in there just because Gary Vee says you have to be on every platform. Doesn't mean you have to. Just be on the ones where your audience is.
Sure.
But my point is video storytelling is now how you connect with consumers. And even as a retail bricks and mortar, which is now clicks and mortar, where you discover, connect and engage your customers before they come in store is all online. So I was with a retailer last week, a CMO, 95% of all their media spend is on digital, even though they've got 300,000 square meters of, you know, retail space. The point is online is where you find customers. They will purchase sometimes in store, sometimes online, but regardless, you've got to find them and connect and engage with them in social, and the best way, or well, I can't think of a better way, to use humans that are already promoting your brand, and they do that for a living, which are those people in store going, hey, you want to come into Officeworks? Well, here's some electronics, and I know everything about them.
You know, we know how good of a presenter you are, and timing-wise, though, you're a logistical nightmare because your session ran like 15 minutes over because the Q&A was going so long, so many people wanted to ask a question. What was the big takeaway for them? The questions you were fielding, was there a particular topic or subject?
Look, it's scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it actually, like, how the hell am I going to herd the cats, right? I'm going to put a call out to my employees. What happens if they hate it? What happens if they turn on us? What are the comments in there? Hang on a sec, I've got to get, like, legals involved in this and the comms team and HR because I'm dealing with employees. And, like, every one of those individuals thinks differently to a marketing team, right? The HR or comms team is fear-based. Mm-hmm. So you've got – that's really hard to do. So you've got to bring all of those sort of mob bosses into the one room and you've got to inspire them together. Mm. And then you've got to say, we're going to try some pilots. Everyone just has to find where they're comfortable and let's create habits around this. Because if you just do it once, it'll be okay, but it'll be a bit annoying. You just got to commit and create positive habits out of it, and you will get the rewards. And trust me, everyone globally is doing it. So my examples were Starbucks and Walmart and M&S. Australians cannot afford to just go, oh, that's just too hard basket.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And before you go, a nice little selfish plug for Tribe. What have you guys got going on in 2024, man?
Well, we're really excited, actually, in terms of new platforms. So Pinterest is making a massive play. Pinterest is a really powerful social platform. So we've plugged those in on top of, you know, Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. I think we're turning off X. I don't even know what to do there.
But Elon will come after you, my friend. You don't want that.
But Pinterest is super exciting. And then, as I say, we're traveling the globe and creating this new opportunity because, you know, we've got 90,000 influencers and micro creators. But a Walmart has 2 million store employees and we've got the technology that can scale and streamline that with ease. So I'm really excited about being able to apply our normal solution to a whole new category.
Well, Jules, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You did just come off stage, so go get something to eat, relax.
Legend.
Good Thanks to see you, man. From Thanks, Today man. FM next to a pool, am I right?
Mate.
I know this is terrible for the audio, but we're next to a pool, people.
Look at us now. We're on top of Crown, the rooftop. They'll kick me out any
We're
second.
Recording where Taylor Swift stayed in Sydney.
Is True that right? story.
No.
No,
it's Well, not. She's upstairs.
Okay.
Anyway, good, thanks. Thanks, Jules. Bye.
Hi, Tay.
That about does it from us here at the Crown Sydney for Mumbrella's Retail Marketing Summit. Adam, how are you feeling now that we're at the end of this?
Oh, really excited to see how everyone else gathers after the end of these proceedings and what we wrap up. You know, naturally, I think we can be proud of the content we've put out today, and we want to be even more proud next year. We want to do it better next year.
You can check out so much of the coverage we've already put up already on mumbrella.com.au, but for more details on everything happening at the Retail Summit, head to mumbrella.com.au/retail. Adam, I've got to assume as well that when you say we want to do it better next year, we are at the Crown Sydney. Ideally, we want to be doing the podcast from the room Taylor Swift stayed in on her recent tour. I believe it was $34,000 a night there. So Crown, if you're listening, we would love it. We can't afford it, but we'd love it.
Yeah, don't let that be an obstacle.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, check out mumbrella.com.au for more details on everything happening today at the Retail Summit. Adam, thanks so much for joining me and well done again. We'll see you all next week.
Podcast edit by Abes Audio.